All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for bringing all of us together once again. It's going to be an awesome night tonight. We got some wonderful testimonies, praise reports, and some prayers to be answered. And Lord, we just thank you for your anointing upon all of us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that open heaven, because we know when we pray, because of that golden twine that's in our hearts and you're pulling it together. Lord, we're into one accord. And when we get into one accord, every prayer is answered. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us. If we just command that any kind of distraction goes out of this outreach room, no communications problems whatsoever. In the name of Jesus, we command every audio problem to go, every video problem to go, every internet problem to go, every Bluetooth problem to go, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for a solid, solid meeting tonight, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you so much for the prayers that are being answered even as we speak. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing, in Jesus' name, and all of us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight, leading us and guiding us into the things that you'd have us to talk with about, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, any prayer requests? As y'all can see, let me see. Well, where'd they go? Oh, come back on there, Matt. There he is. Matt made it home today from the hospital. Praise God. After they said he had five vertebrae broken, and I believe it was three ribs broken in a car wreck the other day. But we know different, because we serve a God that is so awesome. He's a healer. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He's going to get up and do a little dance for us here shortly. No, maybe next time. Amen. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? I tell you what, let me start it off right quick. Lord, I lift up Matt to you, and I thank you, Father, for getting him out of pharmakia, getting him out of that death hole over there. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for getting him home where you and his wife and his children and his brothers and sisters in Christ can minister and pray for him and keep him in amongst this circle of you, Lord. And we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command every vertebrae, every break that they said he had, be healed in the name of Jesus. Every rib be healed in the name of Jesus. Every vertebrae be healed in the name of Jesus. And anything else that they said was wrong with him, be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that he is whole. Life is in him. Life is in every organ of his body, in Jesus' name. And we command the pain to go. And we praise you, Father, that Matthew is healed, in Jesus' name, regardless of what the doctors say. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, let tonight, Lord, he's going to sleep better than he has since the wreck, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Missy.
I just had my hand up praying with you, but.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll go ahead and mute you back.
Okay.
Well, unless you got something you want to share.
Well, if we're done with Matt.
Go ahead, Pat.
No, I'm not done with Matt, but I'll offer up this last prayer, or at least one for me. Father, thank you for the healing, for Matt's healing. Thank you for restoring each and every bone, just as Michael said. Lord, we just come together and cast down any evil report that would be have been spoken or will be spoken in the future. We cast it down. We thank you, Lord, that you provide us your grace, for we are saved by your grace through faith. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for strengthening Matt in your word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, even right now, as he thinks about different scriptures that you've given him. Lord, we thank you that there is no trial that comes into our life that you are not able to take us through victoriously in Christ. And so we just come together and thank you, join together and thank you for the healing power of your life and your word and of your faith that you provide for us. So we just ask you to strengthen Matthew through this time, that he might have a testimony to share to all those around him, Lord, of the healing power of Christ, the healing power of your word. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you for this healing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. All right, I'll tell you what, something, here's a thought that came to me. Everybody close your eyes and just imagine Matt completely healed and walking around normal without any problems. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. You said imagination by faith works. We believe it. We've seen it happen. We thank you, Father, that Matthew is healed. In Jesus' name, pain, go. In Jesus' name, body, be whole. In Jesus' name, we command life into those vertebrae and ribs and command them to be healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Matthew is up, around, and doing the things he needs to do. Father, we thank you that by Monday morning, he'll be able to go to work. In Jesus' name, and astound everyone. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to get the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my, 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 my. Amen and amen. Okay. It is done. Amen. Well, I would, Carol, but I don't think it happened. Yeah, they do. They play. If she, I know Anna, she'll be having that praise music going. All right. Go ahead, Missy. I guess you had your hand up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You caught me off guard earlier, but I'm sitting here, you know, praying along with you, and some things came to me to pray for Matt. So anyway, I just thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord, that Matt is home. I praise you and thank you, Lord, that he's a blessing to all of us, and it blesses us to see him home. And we just command every curse that was spoken on Matt to be broken in the name of Jesus. We're calling the things that are not as though they were. Matt is completely healed. And we ask you, Lord, to strengthen Matt and Anna to cast down all reasoning as imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That you set a watch before their mouth and a door before their lips, Lord, that they only speak as an oracle of God. They only speak blessings. And we just thank you, Father, for blessing Matt and Anna, Lord. And that, Lord, that their families coming through this, Lord, closer to you, more united, Lord, to you and to each other. And Lord, a threefold cord cannot easily be broken, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the mighty work, Lord. We thank you for loving them, Lord. And you said that if to those who love God, you work all things together for good, according to your purpose, Lord. And that is just making us all into your image, Lord, because you're the firstborn among many brethren. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for working all these things after the counsel of your own will, Lord. and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty, powerful healing that is accomplished, is already done, in Jesus' name. And we just ask you, Lord, to just substantially increase Matt and Anna's faith and bless the boys, especially Obi, since he understands more, teaching him a lot through this too, Lord, to speak as an oracle of God and to speak blessings on his daddy and his mommy, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did you have something else you wanted to do?
Oh, I just wanted to share. My mom sent my sister and I an email the other day. And
well, praise God.
Well, she told us that the Lord had showed her something. This was like years ago. She didn't say specifically what it was, but it was something that she mentioned to me a long time ago. Anyway, that the Lord showed her that she had unforgiveness towards my dad about something. And so my sister and I were so elated, you know, to hear that. And that she told my dad that she forgave him. And I believe the Lord's doing a mighty work in both of them, Lord. And I just was so praising the Lord and just tears rolling down, you know, and thanking the Lord for the work that he's doing. And I'm seeing the Lord answer prayers here lately, you know, just little bits of here and there, I see the Lord answering. Not that it's completely answered, but I know that the Lord's working and he's answering prayers with family and everything. And it's just, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I just thank you, Lord, for this great revival that you're bringing and restoration, Lord. And I just, Lord, it can't be soon enough. And I just praise you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Megan, go ahead.
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I need a prayer request. The court just had judgment against the house from the loan company that my mom signed, and I couldn't be able to pay the whole thing, so the house is foreclosed, and I'm beginning to move, get all the things out of the house for a storehouse. I'm with my dad now, and I need prayer for a new place.
Okay. You need another place, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Megan to you. And we thank you, Father, that you have a place already picked out for her. And I ask, Father, that you lead her to it. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you've got a place just for Megan. And I think it was your mama. No.
Yes.
Dad. Your dad, right? Okay. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Megan and her dad. In Jesus' name. Just the right kind of a place. Out of trouble's way. Out of harm's way. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Megan. I command that house to come forward in the name of Jesus. That'll be one that she can afford, her dad can afford, and they can move into, and it'll be fine in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe it, Megan. All right. I thought I saw Brandy doing something in there. Amen. Yeah, Carol, go ahead.
Beloveds, I'm bursting. I want to share a testimony and say thank you. The power of prayer of brothers and sisters, the sword that you guys have. I want to cry. I want to jump. I want to dance. I don't know how to put this all together, but I'm going to try, okay, to formulate the words of praise God for the body of Christ. I have been in a battle. And my heart is beating so fast. Woo! Hold on. Anyway, fear is gone. Let's just put that one first. Dave, thank you, because you really did give me a sword last week. I've been wielding it. I've been more vigilant with, you know, fear, you don't belong. You're a spirit. I command. God has given me authority, the mighty name of Jesus. And then I start this, and then I go, you know, and where I'm lacking, Jesus is interceding for me. And I just start fighting with the word, like just coming out. Hallelujah. And if that's not even enough, oh my God, I'm jumping all over. Okay. And then Julie, when you said, I don't need the scan. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to be a lot of faith, Lord, for me not to take that scan, but I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to let it go. And the next morning I got up and then I sat down and I said, you know, God, sometimes I ask you to speak to me and I don't really believe you're going to, but that's a lie. That's rebellion. And I started to name the things that were blocking me from receiving the truth. And I sat down and I said, and you're a father and we ask and you delight to give. He started to give me scripture and I started getting deliverance. Anyway, Jesus said to me, he says, I'm going to scan your body. What do you think about that? And I was like, oh my God, yes, please, finally. I was so excited. So he did, he scanned and maybe I don't need to tell you everything, but for sure the polyps and the hardening, those places, he said, those are old places and there's no life going through. And over each place, there's a lie that's housed there. And that lie says, I'm not big enough. And I know, you know, I am big enough, but this place doesn't. So do you want to give it to me? And I was like, yes, touch that place. And it's like, cancel the scan. Jesus scanned me instead. I wrote down the sword and everything that he's given me with that. And I felt like, because when I first got saved, I got saved in my living room, not in a church, not with the body of Christ. I had the voice of God come into my living room and speak right into my heart, right? And I received a double joy anointing. But the last few years, my journey was tough because as a believer, I was really had to follow Jesus out of a marriage. I had to leave a very destructive marriage. And I kept thinking I did something wrong. And I just couldn't get past the guilt of that. And so the double joy is bouncing back. And I know he sent me to this body. So I just want to say thank you, because I said, I can't do this alone. I know you're bigger than anything, but you want us to be with the body of Christ. So, oh God, if I can hug all of you, I would right now. If I could like give you kisses on the screen, just receive it. Matt, I saw you lying there. I don't know you, but I really felt, if you're hearing this, one, I want to say your wife's faith is so phenomenal. When I saw her Tuesday, and I know that faith is covering you, and so is the body of Christ. But I kept seeing and I kept feeling angels. God, release your angels to sing over him tonight, over anything that is dark, any trauma, any fear, any spirit of death that tried to attach or cling itself to you in the trauma of the accident. We speak the life, the love of God. Trauma, you cannot stand in the presence of the love of God and the body of Christ. And we will sing if we need to tonight in our bed, so that you can hear the voice of the Lord singing songs of healing and deliverance over you. And you will walk and you will rise up and praise God. Okay, that's enough. Bless you all. Love you. Love you all.
Oh, I wish somebody get excited about Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Unmute to laugh with you then.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Oh,
thank
God.
You, Lord, for doing
Amen.
This.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo-hoo.
So sorry.
Somebody ought to be shouting it.
Oh, yes, I have another one. Oh, my God. I have to say it because it's direct prayer from you guys. The other thing, remember that the certificate that they're mandating the certificates now to be part of for work and stuff, crazy stuff like that. And it's not really legal yet. And my association, where we were supposed to meet and have a meeting about our condominiums, and I was not going to be able to go because they were asking for proof that I had double vaccination. And I never speak up on stuff like that. I back down. I bow out. I don't want to have a fight. I want to be, you know, quiet, whatever. And I really felt this burning inside of me. Says, find out what your legal rights, write to them. And the moment I did that, there was some gentle repercussion, as in like they were like, well, it's it's the room where we're going. They're demanding it. But I kept hearing God say, don't say anything else. You wrote your letter. You let them know. You thank them because they think they're doing what's right, but it's not right. And I let it go. And then finally, it took about 10 days. They tried to call me and say, we'd like to talk to you. And I wrote back. That was the Lord. He says, do not speak because you're going to give in. I'm not strong enough yet, right? Well, me, Carol. And so I wrote back in an email and said, I can't meet with you. It's best if you write to me, because I really felt, he says, you have to be very vigilant and get everything in writing just in case. And so after I did that, she didn't write back, but she finally changed the notices that were posted on all of the bulletins in the building that was still requiring everybody to bring a mandate that showed that they had a vaccination. So she finally removed it after I refused to receive her call. So I awesome. Am going to be able to go to the meeting, and I hope other people that were intimidated by this didn't go get a vaccine. That's what Amen. I felt. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my. You're working with Carol, Lord. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Amen. And Carol says, do more, Lord, do more. Thank you, Father. And he
yes,
will.
Yes, please.
And he will. All right. That is awesome. That's awesome, Carol. Thank you so much for that. Got me pumped up. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Pat.
Actually, I just kind of have a comment about what Carol was saying there, because it really kind of hit me before we went on tonight, came into the meeting tonight. I was thinking, Lord, is there something else that you want us to do? And I know we see the writing on the wall. We know that this whole pressure from the government and pressure from above and these mandates, and it's forcing us into making certain decisions, etc., and stand in opposition to the tide, so to speak. But my thought and question to the Lord was, this is only a test run right now. We're going through kind of a primer course of what's on the horizon, because because what's in the future is going to be 10 times worse. But the principle of what we're going through is happening right now. And so, number one, I'm asking the Lord just to give us wisdom to learn the lessons that we have to learn through this process. But I think Carol's testimony is a very good example of listening to the Lord just taking systematic steps of obedience and watching that kingdom crumble, because there are so many lies and deceptions and just a mountain of lies. People are believing things that are based upon lies. And those lies are based upon lies. It's like there's a whole mountain of lies, and it's like a massive flood of deceit is coming against us. But one thing I've learned is it only takes one strategic truth to topple that whole mountain. One strategic truth. And the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And He knows exactly what we need to say or how we need to respond in any given situation that we have. So I'm encouraged by what Carol's testimony, because there was just a couple simple things that the Lord told her to do, and that whole opposition just crumbled. And so I'm just asking the Lord, Father, I just ask you right now, would you give us wisdom? You've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, Lord. And what is needed in this day and age to combat the illogical positions that are being taken by people is truth. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are well able to deliver us and deliver all those who seek you, who will put truth at the foremost and make their decisions based upon the reality of truth. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We just ask you to give us wisdom in all of our differing situations and show us how to be more proactive in our situations, Lord. Show us, each one of us, how to overcome in our particular case. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given to guide us. And we just praise you, Lord, that we are in this learning process. And Lord, let us be wise. Let us be continuing to just persevere in these situations and have patience, for you are bringing us through into that better end. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that we don't have to go through these things alone, that you are with us. We have the body around us that is with us, and that we can walk through this path with a great cloud of witnesses around us. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's three things that I would ask an employer, if he demanded that I take the vaccine, if it were myself. I'm not going to be asked that. But if I were, I would ask for the ingredients of the vaccine. I would tell them that, will you be held liable? Will you sign a liability sheet that says you'll be liable if anything happens to me? And the third thing I would, I forgot what it was. But anyway, those two right there should shut them down. There's a list that I had before, but that one thing, ingredients, they won't give you the ingredients because they know that you can check it out and find out what it is. Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to add on to the testimony of what the Lord did for us.
Okay.
Over here, buddy. When the crash happened, I looked in my rear view mirror. I looked up and all I could see, I thought it was a grill, but I guess it must have been a windshield because it was a white van that hit us. And so I looked up and there was just that thing right in the back window almost, you know? Right. And I thought, I need to hit the gas. But my foot never even got off the brake pedal because it was that fast. And I didn't even look out the windshield, you know, it was that fast. And so, of course, Carol mentioned about praying for us for trauma. And of course, we prayed about trauma and fear about getting, you know, behind the wheel again and in the car. And the kids haven't been afraid, you know, to be in the car. They haven't been afraid of the stoplight. And I was a little bit wondering how I was going to feel, you know. I was like, Lord, you know, I don't want to be struggling with, you know, every time someone's coming up behind me on a, you know, red light. And today the Lord just proved it to me that I'm just totally delivered, because I really haven't had a problem at all, actually. But today I was driving through that intersection where we got hit, and it was a green light though. And I looked in my rear view mirror, and there was this white van behind me. And I was like, wow, Lord, thank you. I don't even feel any fear, you know, whatsoever. I was like, thank you, Lord. You just proved it to me. So it was cool. So thank you, Lord. We're all delivered.
Amen. I tell you what, Anna is a trooper for the Lord. She rebuked everything that the doctors tried to put on Matt. She did that. You know, I just don't accept that, glory to God. That was awesome. Awesome. Good testimony, Anna. You're a good wife to Matthew. All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And you're a good sister in Christ, too. You make some good food dishes. Amen. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Missy.
I went into the Lord's been encouraging me concerning my husband about some things, and he just put on put on my heart to declare and decree and to speak as an oracle of God. And I believe the Lord is going to use this to speak to Marl's heart and speak by his spirit to him. And, anyway, but I declare and decree that Marl has come out from among them, and he's separate from this apostate, so-called church that he's in. And that he is going to be sitting here with me before too long on the outreach. And then I'm gonna read something as a speaking directly to Merle, to his spirit man. And it's 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what agreement has Christ with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? Merle is a believer. He is not an unbeliever. And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple, for Merle is a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in Merle and walk in him, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, Merle, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me a son. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord, for doing that. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We believe it, Lord. We believe it. We can see Merle sitting right there beside her. Thank Amen. You, Lord, for doing that for Missy and Merle. Jesus' name.
Thank Amen. You.
Merle, you come up and line up with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Brianna. Cannot hear you. Nope. Can't hear you. You're unmuted here, but are you unmuted on your computer? You're going to have to turn your microphone volume up on your PC. Go into settings. Let's get you a big crescent wrench and hit the screen of it real quick. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Look over on the microphone icon down at the bottom, which says audio settings, where your microphone is. Make sure that your microphone is on the same as system. Or any one of those microphone array or whatever you've got in there that comes with the system. Okay. No, it's okay. I can read your lips.
Michael, maybe she needs to go into the Zoom settings, not the computer settings.
Well, that's what I just told her to do, is go into the Zoom setting on the microphone icon. So I don't know. And probably in the settings where she's got the microphone turned off on the computer. But anyway.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Yes, Geneva.
Here's Mariana.
Can y'all hear me?
Oh, that's terrible. Sorry. Did not work.
Is she trying to come in on your phone?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
All right. Just type it in the chat.
Sometimes restarting a computer helps that, because that happened to me one time. I restarted and it came on.
Amen. All right. While she's trying to get fixed up, does anybody else got something? You have Zoom issues logging in? Not no more. Jesus' name. Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, hi everyone. I had a prayer request for my father-in-law. His name is Frank. And he was having some pain in his feet. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him it was diabetic neuropathy or something. But then he said something else that was troubling him. He was having trouble yawning completely, like he couldn't have a full yawn. And so the doctor started asking him all these questions about, you know, are you lonely at home? Do you go out and hang out with your friends? Do you go play golf with friends? And he's like, no, I don't do any of that. I don't really socialize much. And, you know, he misses his wife. My mother-in-law has been gone for 10 years now. She passed away. And so he misses her a lot, but he's not like lonely. I mean, he's lonely, but he keeps busy and stuff. But anyways, this doctor just put all these ideas in his head, all these curses about being lonely and being anxious about it and having anxiety. And then on top of that, he gave him an anxiety medicine. He said, try this for 3 days and then come back and see me. And Dad took it for one day and he got so dizzy and just felt so miserable. He just got off of it immediately. And finally he called me and we talked about it. And I'm like, you're not anxious about that. I don't know why he put that in your head. You just can't accept that. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, he kept asking me this and that. And I kept feeling worse and worse the more he talked, because I kept thinking, I didn't even think about that problem before. He just kept putting all these curses on him. So I just want to pray to cast all those curses out of him, just bind him up and just not to let him accept those. And just, I told him just to pray that the Holy Spirit just fill him. And I know when I ask for that, I get yawns like Missy always talks about. So I'm just, Lord, just fill him up with the Holy Spirit and give him a full yawn, Lord. And just bind all those spirits that were cast, put into him today, and cast them out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
What's his name, Vanita?
Frank.
Frank. Well, Lord, we just lift up Frank to you. We thank you, Father, for putting joy in his heart. You said he is a Christian, didn't you?
Yes, he is. Yep, he's a believer.
Okay, is he filled with the Holy Spirit?
You know, no, he's kind of like my husband, Frank. They both have the Baptist religious spirit, but he does like believe in healing and things like that more than my husband does. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lord, we lift up Frank Sr. We thank you, Father, that you're going to put joy in his heart. We cast down those curses that were spoken against him from the doctor, from Pharma Kia. In Jesus' name, we break that power on him right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for replacing all of that with your joy and your peace and rest in you. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for the good report for Frank Sr. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I believe it's done.
I believe it. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yes, Marilyn.
Okay. I wanted to pray for Frank, too.
Okay.
And I just thank you and praise you. We'll break the power of and cast out the spirit of diabetes in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. I command that thing to go. We command his blood sugars to be totally normal. They're between 80 and 120. And Lord, that his feet are healed. That his feet are healed. And I just, not only in the natural, but in the spirit. He is just walking closer with Jesus. His feet are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Lord, you're going to give him a revelation. Father, pour your Holy Spirit out on Frank. Give him that spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the true knowledge of Christ, and that Christ really lives in his heart, that Jesus didn't just come to cover his sins, that Jesus is his life now. And Lord, you enlighten the eyes of his understanding and strengthen him in the inner man. Help him to repent of these false doctrines and help him repent and believe. And we command him to come out of this this Baptist doctrine. Lord, we don't curse the Baptist people in any way. We bless them. But Lord, they're just not teaching enough of the truth. And he's got a tiny piece of the puzzle. And they're people are just, many of them, in a lot of error and bondage. And I pray also, Lord, that you put it on Frank's heart. Give him a desire to be in the Word. And Lord, I pray you bring him some real Christian fellowship. I bind up that spirit of loneliness in him. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, you're going to bring somebody across his path that's just going to be a disciple to walk with him and to help him. And we all need that, Father. I mean, we love being here together. We know what it means. And I pray that for Frank, too. And I thank you, Lord, that he's got a good relationship with Vanita and able to share these things with her. And that they're going to start having more fellowship in the Lord. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just put our faith together with Marilyn and believe it's done. All right. We're going to lift up Mariana. Boys got healed after the other night when we prayed for him. Now, Mariana fixing to get healed too in the name of Jesus. Or in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of infirmity out of that family. You go from them. Don't move around anymore. In fact, you get out the house and don't come back in Jesus' name. And take all your symptoms with you. And we thank you, Father, that it is done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing the house there with Geneva, Mariana and the boys. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Geneva's the one's got her hands up. That's what threw me off. All right, Lord, we praise you that Mariana is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Now get up and sing us a song, Mariana. Awesome. All right. Go ahead, Geneva.
I'll take the prayer too for me too, David, since or Michael, since you put me in there.
Okay.
But I was just gonna pray for Mariana too. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your angels around him, Father. Thank you for being with Isaac when he's at work, Lord, and for being around those little boys, Jesus. And thank you, God, that no plague can come nigh thy tent, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that Psalms 91 is covered and around them, God, and that they have your blood protection. And thank you, Jesus, that she's going to be in perfect peace because her mind is stayed upon you, Lord, and God, she trusts in you, Father, as the scripture says. And Lord, thank you, God, that this has to go right now in the name of Jesus, like Michael prayed, and she's not going to feel anything else. I thank you, Father. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. We hook our faith up with Geneva and count it all as done in Jesus' name. You spirits of infirmity, get out of this fellowship right now in Jesus' name. You don't even hang around nobody's house in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning house. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Megan, go ahead. You already got a house.
Yes, amen. And I forgot to ask another prayer request. While my family members were recently passed away for COVID, and let's pray for the family and their salvation.
Okay. I didn't understand what you wanted to pray for, Judy.
I got it. Father, I thank you for Megan's family, and I pray and lift them all up to you, Lord, for your comfort and your peace and the loss of these family members that have died recently, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit minister to them, Lord, and lead them into the arms of Jesus, where we find our comfort and peace in your word, God. Draw them all to Jesus, Father, and I just lift up Megan, that she can even speak in agreement with your word for them too, Lord, that she can pray for them as well and pray in the spirit for them, and that she can be a witness for you and all the truth that she has, Lord, about how you've ministered and how you've been in her life, Lord, to comfort her and help her and answer her prayers. And we just pray blessings on Megan's family, Lord, and that they would be comforted by, Lord, we pray for their salvation. I think Megan said you were asking for that, Lord. So we lift them up to the throne of grace for that, Lord, that they know that they need a savior and that you would draw them by that, Lord, that their need for you, that that Megan can even say, it's like, you know, we don't mourn for those who have no hope, because we know we have Jesus. And if they don't know that they have Jesus, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts about that. I ask, God, that you will bring people into their life to speak truth to them, to disciple them, to bring light into that darkness, Lord, where they are walking in darkness. And we just pray your blessing on them, Father, in the name of Jesus, and your help, because we all need your help every day, Lord. And I pray you give comfort to Megan as well, Lord, and hold her close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. We believe it's done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, babe. All right, you were unmuted, that's for you. I thought you had something.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. Claire, you got something there? Okay. All right. You grading papers?
No, I don't really grade my kids yet, but I am cutting out cute little flashcards for their next cycle of learning.
Oh, okay. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Greg.
But look, maybe Claire, we can get one of those guillotines. You can use that.
I would love a guillotine. Like, I'm all about the stationery, and if I could have a guillotine, I would I'd probably cut everything that I could find. I would love it.
Oh, man.
Sorry, to be slightly serious, and I'll try, I really will. Sorry, just Megan, I just want to, I guess, hopefully encourage you with a little bit of testimony. I am not quite the same circumstances, but I've been in the circumstances and that you now, oh, sorry, that appear before you. I'll use that phrase. And look, I appreciate that it is like, it's really uncertain. Look, this is the testimony I'm going to give. That in the circumstances, I knew the Lord being with me through it all, through all the uncertainty, whatever, the growth curve was massive for me. And while I don't desire that anyone, you know, have the longevity of experience that I have had, I'll say, it's you know, that learning to rely on the Lord and His presence is brilliant. And if there's a scripture I would refer you to, it would be, I think it's Isaiah 32:18. I'll check that, but if I'm wrong, I'll put it in the chat. But yeah, I'll leave it at that. Other than to add for generally, I last night, and it's because it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, spent my first evening or night at my new job, actually at the workplace. Here's the interesting thing, right? So I have at the moment I have a 3-month contract for 25 hours a week.
Did you lock up, Greg?
Brain freeze.
Greg. Wake up, Greg.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Jesus. He's all right now.
Oh, did you lose me?
Yeah, we lost you. You froze down there for a while. We thought maybe you locked off there for a minute.
No, I thought I'd shut down a few things. But yeah, sorry, I'm not sure where you came in, where I cut out. After 25 hours. Okay, yes. They have said that I could stay the whole shift, which would, you know, if I want to any day, I can stay till, you know, another 2.5 hours pay every day. Plus there's overtime for me on Saturday if I want it. It's not enough to buy a private jet, but it's incredibly massively different to what I've been doing.
You can borrow ours.
Yeah, fair enough. There was, you know, I'm happy to do that.
Amen.
I mean, it might sound normal for a lot of people, but for me, this is absolutely, utterly boggling compared to what I've been enduring.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's insulting now.
Greg, don't look at the chat. Oh, my. All right.
You're loved, Greg. You're loved.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. If I can gather myself up here. All right, Greg, that was smooth, brother.
I don't think it sounded that way from your end, but anyway.
Amen. Oh, my. Yeah, amen. That was a good one. All right, anyone else? Pat, we're going to have to put you on salary. All right. Okay, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Oh, wait a minute. I got one more prayer request. Lady, we prayed for last time. We need to pray for her again. Debbie. Lord, I lift up Debbie to you. I command that tumor to dry up in Jesus' name and go from her body in the name of Jesus. I command all doubt and unbelief to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. I command fear to go in Jesus' name. I command pharmakia to go in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you're going to place it in her to trust you for everything. And I come against this spirit of infirmity on her, and I command it to go and every one of the symptoms to go from her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Debbie. In Jesus' name. Now, Debbie, you be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your filtering power going through her right now, cleansing her blood and everything else. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I remembered. I would like prayer for my daughter, Anjali. She is something in our house is just causing her to have really bad allergies. She's just completely, her nose is completely plugged up all day long until she takes a bath and then it clears up. But she's just having a horrible time with it. And I don't know. I vacuum, I dust. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray and God's going to fix it. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against any kind of allergic reactions to anything. What's her name?
It's Anjali.
Anjali. In Anjali right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. She is cleansed of this spirit of infirmity. And we thank you, Lord. She doesn't have to worry about it from this point on. In Jesus' name, we command all the symptoms. We command that spirit of infirmity to go from her sinuses and her body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Anjali is healed and delivered from this nonsense called sinuses in Jesus' name. She doesn't have to put up with it. We don't. She's healed in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. Ooh, wow. Just had a little short vision. My hand going down there and doing something with it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking a scripture just came to me, or that section of scripture when you were talking about Debbie. And the thought was when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and the interlude between them as they were talking. And it's interesting comparing that interlude with what Zachariah had with the father of John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Maybe mixing things up here. But the differences in those conversations with the angels. But I just had that thought that Mary, when she was talking with Gabriel, and of course he broke the news to her, give her the message of God, and immediately, and I guess the thought was she received it after clarifying a couple things in her mind. To her satisfaction, she received it. And even though she received it, it wasn't done immediately. It didn't manifest. It really didn't manifest for 9 months. But, it manifested before that, obviously. But she immediately went to Elizabeth, her sister or aunt or whatever, I'm getting my stories mixed up here. But God gave her a confirmation then that what he had told her was true. And so I guess when you're talking about Debbie's situation there, I guess I just felt the significance or the need or the importance of receiving that word of faith, receiving that word of truth. Even though you may not see it immediately, it's truth, it's done. And as we, and obviously when we agree with it, we're agreeing with God's word, and there isn't anything more powerful than that. So I was just, I don't know if Debbie is on or if that was something that you received in a text or whatever.
Yeah, I just got it from a text.
Yeah. So, but that, it just kind of hit me. It was kind of that same story and the same need kind of flipped in my mind at that time. So I just kind of put the two together there. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Well, like we talked about Tuesday night, a lot of times people get faith mixed up with humanism, I might say, and I use that word loosely, because most of the time we think that we have to have our faith, but in fact we have to have God's faith, faith in God, trust in God. Do we trust God? Well, I don't know if I have enough faith. Has anybody ever said that? Well, if you say that, guess what? What you're saying is, I just don't believe God. I don't believe God can do what he says he can do, because we're supposed to be looking at him and trusting him for everything. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in ourselves, we're going to mess up. I can tell you that from my experience, But when we trust God, he don't ever mess up. He never messes up. And when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. It's set in stone. He says his word goes above and beyond anything you hear from him. In other words, if he says by his stripes you were healed, that's, look back at the cross. That's where your healing is. It's not in front of you. It's behind you. David teaches that in the Real Good News. So we have to have our trust and our faith in him, not in us. That's where I used to mess up a lot. Then I figured it out and I said, oh, okay. All I got to do is trust God to fulfill what he said he was going to do. And it makes it a whole lot easier, doesn't it? Because then I don't have to rely on my faith, because my faith is going to mess up if I have to rely on my faith. So I just trust in God and rest that he's going to fulfill what he said he's going to do in his word. And the way you get that trust in God is to keep reading the word. Don't just do like David said, read the word like a hog eats slop. Read it and study it and meditate on those words, those promises, and get it in your spirit. And once you get it in the spirit, you can swing that sword all you want to, and you'll see some results. Big time results. And once you get a prayer answered, then you're on the road. You keep on trusting. You keep on trusting. Well, Lord, you said this. I'm just going to believe you for this. And then you hang on to it and you endure in your faith in him, not in you, until you see it done. Until you see it manifested. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, makes it a lot easier for me when I learned that. All I have to do is trust in him. I don't have to trust in Michael. Yeah, Missy.
It just makes me think of C.C. Winans' song, Believe For It. He said it, I believe it. He said it is done.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter right. What it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. He said it. Bless God, I believe it. It's done.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen. So I hope that helps. I know y'all all know this, but there's people out there that don't know this. Needs it. Yeah, Benita or Claire.
Oh, who's going?
Go ahead, Benita.
Okay, I just have a quick thing. I just wanted to say, well, thank you for saying that, because that really helped me a lot. And I remember when we were talking about praying in the spirit, I read in one of David's teaching that I was worried about, you know, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm praying for. And so how do I know that I'm being led properly? And it just was all about trusting the Lord. And I am a child of Jesus, and he is in me, and he's the one that's guiding it. And so I can trust. I just have to trust him and know that he's putting the right words, the Spirit's putting the right words in me. And so it's just a matter of faith and believing that he's doing it, and that it's him and not me. So, but amen. Thank you for that. There's a lot of applications for that.
Amen. Well, sure is. Thank you. Go ahead, Claire.
So about more than 11 years ago, I think it was. Or maybe 10, somewhere between there. I overcame something in Christ that was a pesky little thing my whole life. So I'd been, the doctors had said that I either was born without some kind of bladder valve, or that it wasn't working properly. And my dear mom, you know, she didn't know anything really. And so she just believed this. And I didn't really have an unnatural or disabled sort of existence because of it. It was just that I couldn't maybe hold my bladder as well as anybody else up until adulthood. And then it would often result in more infections than what one would normally have, like UTI or whatever. And about 10 years ago, I remember I had a newborn baby, and I was with Rianne. We had gone away for the weekend, and I knew I was manifesting these symptoms, but I didn't have anything with me to drink or take or anything. And I also knew that I didn't have to suffer this anymore. And I just cast it down. I spent the night just praying it down and saying, you know, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I live, I now live by faith. And I just kept on saying the verses as they came into my mind. And I just felt this warmth over me at one point, and I felt it go. And since then, I've maybe felt the inklings of lying symptoms 3 or 4 times, and each time I've just cast it down and said, no, but I remember that day. I remember that day when that healing was manifest. I remember that hour when it was manifest. I'm not going to accept this. Because you do all kinds of stupid things. Do you know what I mean? You'll like keep cranberry juice in your house, or you know, you read things when you fall pregnant again, then you think, oh, but UTIs are normal. What an absolute lie. What an absolute, it's just lies. But anyway, so this morning I woke up and I have this sensation of this feeling or the symptom of this thing. But I mean, it's been 10 years. So what does the enemy think he's going to achieve by providing this symptom to me today? Because I have not had this problem for a decade. I'm not about to entertain the thought that it's going to happen now. Like, it's gone. It's been gone for a decade. It's gone. It's so gone. And thank you, Lord, for providing the healing on the cross 2000 years ago. And thank you for blessing us with the faith of Christ. And thank you for letting us endure in trials. But thank you also, Lord, for giving us the pure joy at seeing the manifestation at your mighty works and not ours. And I pray that for everyone.
Amen. And that's a great way to put it. I don't have to accept this. I'm not going to accept this. Get out of here. Don't come back. What makes you think that I've changed my mind? Is she going to come on, allow you to come back into my body in Jesus' name? No, you go. That's a great way of doing it. It can't come back when you do that. Boy, to God, I love a fighter. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Got a testimony. I want to hear a testimony. Yes, Go on, Claire. She's on a roll, girl. Go ahead, on.
I have a revelation first, just a quick one. I divided a snack up for my children earlier this week. And so Daniel put an extra thing in his plate. Okay. So I think there were like two things for each child, and then he landed up getting more. Like he put it in his plate to get more. I did not show favor. And then I took it out and I put it back in the other child's plate. And he said, "That's not fair." And I said, "Hang on, like, let's talk about fairness. This is fair when everybody gets the same thing." He's like, "Yes, but I should get more than others. Then it will be fair." And in that moment, the Lord showed me, we are all born with this antichrist spirit. Everything should be equal, except for me. And so that freed me from getting too angry with a little creature and just, you know, saying, "Okay, my boy, that's fine, but it's not going to happen like that in this house." And it just gives me a lot more grace, because if I see everyone around me who's unsaved, as if I see them as little five-year-olds who think they're entitled instead of raging communists, then it makes it easier to accept life, right? So that was the first thing. And the second thing, I don't actually know that I'm going to share. I think I'm going to leave it for Rian to share when he gets back on, because it's his story. So I'll let him do that. I'm not going to steal the thunder, as it were.
That's awesome. That's, you know, that's kind of the way my dad was. It's, you know, when we do stuff like that, he said, "Wait a minute, I'm the king. You're the subject. You do what I say, and that's not right. Don't do it in the Lord, or it's the organ bench for you, buddy. You don't want to go to the organ bench." "No, sir. No, sir. I won't." You know, you do all the penance and stuff. All right. That's great, Claire. Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead, Kara. Well, three of you got up at the same time. How'd that happen?
Wow, we'll all talk together.
I know. I saw that.
Maybe if you guys want the other two to go who didn't speak tonight, David, maybe?
No, then, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay. We got plenty of time.
Well, to continue the fire that's in my belly, I wanted to be, okay. I want to go back to how amazing this, come on, God, help me focus here. Okay, focus is the word. When I sat down in the morning, I was very specific with him. I said, "Scan or no scan, Lord? That's my question." So that really helped me to stay focused. And then from there, I really felt like that's when he brought the scripture that says, you know, when you ask, "I'm your father, I'm definitely going to give you the answer. Do you believe?" And I was going, "Well, yeah." So I continued with that. And then he said, he kind of showed me in my spirit, where's it hurting, right? And I said, "The abdomen." And he says, what do we put on when we put there? The armor, right? I go, "Oh, the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, hold on, let me go read about righteousness." So I Google righteousness. That's how little my brain is at times. And it was so beautiful because it says, you know, righteousness according to God, of course. I went for that one, and I'm just going to.
You muted yourself.
I'm laughing too much, probably. Okay. So when I went so simple, and I think sometimes that's what we need, is simple but true, right? So the righteousness is right standing with God. Okay, so that was the first thing. And then it says, and this condition is total faith and dependence in him. And I said, that's what I'm doing. I want to free fall into complete faith and dependence on you, Lord. I want to face this giant that's been fear, that's been just, you know, I'm just naming it, right? And that spoke to me, that little tiny phrase that is so powerful. And it just spoke right into my heart. And then I just felt this whole orchestration of of like a mosaic tapestry of his word coming to me and just being placed here and then placed there. And I just kept following it and writing it down so I wouldn't forget, because that's the other thing. It's, I sense that what happens is we are so overwhelmed with the things of the world that sometimes his voice gets drowned out. So there's a place where he had given me two or three scriptures in this season, and all of them started with "do not be afraid." So I thought, okay, he really doesn't want me to face this giant now, and I'm going to, right? And I also resisted. There were a couple of invitations to join different groups, and I kept going, why am I hesitating? And then I went, I'm not going to second guess that. I'm going to wait. The Lord says those who wait, you know, he blesses us, those who wait for him. So I did. I waited and waited. And then again, as I said to you guys a few weeks ago, I wrote down the secret place, and that's how I found UBM. So I wrote all of this down because I know it's very strategic about who this group is and where God is and wants to take us, right, together as a body. So yeah, the righteousness, and I just want to free fall into complete and total abandonment, into faith and dependence on him. So I bless you all with that.
There you go. I receive it. I receive it. Lord, we just thank you for putting us all in that absolute surrender slot in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Because we want to die. We just want you, Lord. You to be guiding us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's good, Carol. Thank you. Go ahead, David. Or Alina.
It's me.
Okay.
I was kind of embarrassed to share this because it's something that only women go through, I did have some of you guys pray for me today, so I felt I might as well share it. Ever since I was a young girl, I ended up having something really weird happen to me. I had a period that lasted 21 days with very severely heavy bleeding. And ever since that had happened, every single month, it was just the worst. Pains would come. I mean, insane bleeding. I would be passing out from pain. And it was just every month for 7 days, I am like being tortured with pain and just severe. Anyways, and so for 1 week, every single month, it was just, I couldn't live normally. Like, it was horrible. And after I got married, I went to a doctor about it, and he spoke the curse of endometriosis on me and said it would be very difficult for me to even get pregnant. But he's like, but if you do, it could possibly help ease these symptoms. Like, if you have babies, it should ease these symptoms later on in life. So, of course, at first, David and I were so devastated because we're like, well, what if I can never get pregnant? But praise the Lord, we did. We had Adelina. And so we always, like, at the time, we were like, she was our miracle baby. We were just so blessed and happy. But then after her and after my cycles returned, they were even worse than they used to be. And they would last 10 days and just severe pains for 7 days, like, to where I couldn't do anything. I would have to take Advil regularly. I would be taking 3 pills every 4 hours just to try to be sane because the pain was so bad. And it was awful. And so then I got pregnant with Abigail, and I discovered all of you. And, you know, started learning about we don't have to live under the curse and everything. And so it was, you know, it was just such great revelations. And so when I knew that my cycle was going to be returning after I had Abigail, I kind of had this like, you know, I need to have faith. I need to have faith that these pains aren't going to return. I need to, you know, and I remember Claire sharing that she was delivered from all of her symptoms. So I was like, this is encouraging. I know I can, you know, I can pray for this. So this week, my cycle returned. Oh, sorry, one second. And I was just battling. I would keep praying and casting the pains down, and it was pretty okay. I gave in one day and took Advil, but then after that, I was like, you know, I don't want to take it anymore. I'm just gonna. I'm just gonna keep praying about it. But today, it was just so hard, and I felt like I couldn't fight it anymore. And I was like, you know what? I need to reach out to the body because I always feel like I need to go through everything alone and deal with it on my own. But anyway, so I reached out to a few of you, and literally like not even a few minutes passed, and I was praying in the spirit, and I just felt this warmth like in my belly, in my back where the pain was. I just felt this warmth. And then I got the messages, and I knew. I was like, the Lord healed me. And then the heavy, insane bleeding, it just completely stopped. Like, it went normal. And just praise the Lord, I believe I am completely healed. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers, and praise the Lord.
We declare and decree you'll never have that problem anymore in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. Go ahead, Claire. I know you got something to say about that.
I just want to pray for all the women who are at this point of their lives. Right. Father, I come to you and I say thank you so much for making us women. You knew exactly what you were doing, and you've chosen us from before the foundation of the world. And you know what trials you've given to who, and you know who's going to overcome those trials. But Lord, the trial of the curse is really a moot point because you've taken the curse away. And Father, I just rebuke any word or thought curses over any of my sisters in Christ, whether they are menstruating, whether they are menopausal. I rebuke every single lying symptom that the enemy thinks he's sovereign over. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke all witchcraft over women in this fellowship and the families that are of the women in this fellowship that have been spoken from unbelieving family members, ignorant family members, and I break them in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We are whole, we are healed, we are delivered, and we have a body that is perfectly synchronized with Christ and with nothing else. And from this day forth, we are going to walk as Christ did, perfectly whole in body, mind, and soul. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. And thank you, Lord, for healing whole bodies and for beautifully functioning wombs and hormones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We men hook our faith together with these women and consider it as so. As Claire declared it, Lord, you said it. We believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for these women and those that are listening on the broadcast as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it. Thank you, Claire. All right, Geneva.
Greg, did you want to pray over that too? I didn't know. Or do you want me just to go on and go?
I was going to pray over it, but if you've got another subject, I'll jump in.
It's different, so you can go on. I'll wait.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
First of all, for all you women, we know about the menstrual cycle. At least, you know, the time we've grown up, we know about it. So
covered that in eighth grade biology.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that. But anyway, let's not go into that. But look, I raised, you know, basically my two daughters on my own, and of course they were daughters, and I only have brothers and stuff like that. But anyway, came a time in their life when, let's not go into that, but I cope with it quite well. No, my youngest, when about the time I was, you know, I started to learn about prayer and healing, and that we can, you know, declare it. This is just a testimony, and I'll connect the dots in a second. You know, she was at an age when she could be home alone, and I had gone to do a little bit of work. Anyway, I'd come home, and she, well, actually, she had phoned me while I was getting home, and she was not in, in a fair bit of discomfort. And back in those days, when she was what, 13, I suppose, it wasn't easy for her. And I'm sitting, you know, this was an evening. I got home. I was sitting on the bed next to her, doing what I could to comfort her, not understanding the whole books and dice, because us men don't have that experience. But I have compassion for my daughter. But look, this is one thing I did. And I just put my hand basically on her stomach, and prayed for her. And, you know, anyway, long story short, this thing was gone in 20 minutes. And I don't know, I mean, I don't discuss my daughter's periods with her a great deal when she's in her early 20s now. But she, you know, to the best of my knowledge, it's not an issue anymore. So to the women, I mean, we know, one, and two, have your husbands pray over you if this is an issue, because if you've got a husband. But other than that too, I just want to, I was just going to pray as well. Not that I'm anyone's husband or father or anything in here, but as one of the men in here, then, Lord, we thank you for the women that we have in our lives and in here. And Lord, your design is wonderful and perfect. And you said you're the one who opens and closes the womb. And I believe that means far more than the timing of births, etc. You know how all this works and how it's supposed to work. So yes, I guess we declare health and healing and proper functioning over all the women here and all those in earshot and all those in our lives, of this part of their lives. And Lord, while they're quite complex and interesting creatures, we give you praise for them, because we would not be complete without them. And all this stuff could just get in line, because we, not because we have power, but we have the name to use. And it's the name. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Something changed in this headset. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, I just hit my head on the wall, so I rebuke that pain in Jesus' name. That's got to go away. That kind of hurt, though. anyway, thank you, Lord. It's gone. But I wanted to say that I don't know if you all remember back when, but I remember Vanita said that she had something on her finger. And I talked about how that time that I had a wart or whatever. Well, that exact night that I gave the Lord praise and glory, that testimony I had where, you know, I prayed and he told me not to look at it. And so I didn't look at it. And like 2 months had went by and I didn't look at it. And then all of a sudden one day he just told me to look at it. And I took off my sock and I looked and it was completely gone. That same time that I gave that testimony, and that was like, shoot, that was when I was in high school. So that was, I think I was like a freshman or something. And so it's been probably like, what, 10 years. And anyways, that night on my finger, all of a sudden, another one popped up. And it's the only second one I've ever had. And I'm like, well, of course that would happen, you know. Because I know how we talk about how, you know, trial of our faith and stuff like that, and that, you know, sometimes these things, they like to try to come back on us. But anyways, I didn't have any, I knew. I was like, well, Lord, you've already brought me through this once. I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not going to look at it. And over time, like, you know, I wouldn't even notice that I was doing it, but I'd look at my finger and stuff, and I would just sit there and look at it and things. And then I was like, I felt God tell me, like, stop looking at it. Stop it, You know, you gotta believe that it's gone, so you have to treat it like it's gone. And something so small, but I felt like the Lord kind of showed me that, and it helped me with other things too, like you know, believing the things that are not as though they are. And so I finally was like, okay, I was like, Lord, let my what's the word I'm looking for here? When you do something without even noticing it, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank here, but your subconscious. I would like, you know, touch it over my subconscious, stuff like that, not even pay attention. But I feel like the Lord, like I was like, Lord will take over that, like, so that way I stop. And praise God, he did. Anyways, the other day I looked and it was like basically all gone, and I was like, well, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Father. So he did it again. Anyways, just something small, but still just like a sweet little measure of faith. But anyways, I thank the Lord, and my head feels much better because I actually hit the wall pretty hard. I was trying to adjust and I smacked it. Anyways, yeah, so I feel good now. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? This is weird. This headset went stupid on me. Now I can hear myself inside myself. I don't know how to adjust it. Anyway, anyone else? She's healed. All right, I got a little question. I got just a question. Has anybody got a question before I ask my question? I have a question. But I'll take anybody else's question before my question. If you don't have a question, I'll go ahead and give my question.
I have a question, but Michael, I'm curious about what your question is.
What's my question?
You have to tell us.
Oh. All right. Well, over in Mark 11, verses 13, 12 through 14. Mark 11, 12 through 14. And on the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it. Now, you got to remember, Jesus was hungry. And he said this, he said, no man eat fruit from thee henceforward forever. And his disciples heard him. I'm going to go on. And they came to Jerusalem. Uh-oh, what happened? Well, and they came to Jerusalem, entered into the temple, and began to cast him out, da-da-da-da-da. And then they went out there and they found out later that fig tree had died. How's that? Okay. What was he doing there? Why did he talk like he did against that fig tree? Now he didn't actually say, I curse you. He said, no man eat fruit from thee henceforward forever. Yeah, David.
Well, I can go by one thing I know for that was I've heard is this is a symbolic of Israel. These two brides are basically, it's a time of what he's starting to reprobate Israel because they don't have fruit. He came for fruit and they didn't have it. They weren't coming to the Lord. And this is the beginning of him reprobating Israel. And then from that point forward, after, of course, this is leading up to his rest, his cross, and then when he's crucified, that opens up the door to the Gentiles ministry. And so now the Gentiles are opened up for the ministry of salvation through Jesus and the blessings that Israel rejected during that time. Now, this is going to be a repeat cycle again in our time, where our time has come, where we have been given all this time to come to Jesus and be saved and learn of his ways, of the ways of God, and not be distracted from what our purpose is to be here, to come in the fullness of Christ. But there's many that are going to be reprobated in this time, and then that's going to be a time where he opens it back up to the church again, the Israel, the church of Israel, the remnant of Israel, to bring back in the remnant. Because there will be a time during the last days that there will not be any more Gentiles that will come back into the kingdom. Now, there will be a time where there will be a falling away, and that's but the remnant of Israel will come back. Now, that's what I understand. There's probably more to this than just that. So that's just what I'll add.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Pat. You understand that you can peel layers off of every verse and get all kinds of understanding. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I had a question about your question, and that was, as I was reading that, the thing kind of stuck out to me. It said that, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. Now, I'm only going to assume that Jesus knew that it wasn't the season for figs. It wasn't that he wasn't going to find anything there. So I guess I have a question as to, I guess he was trying to present he was trying to get a point across or whatever, but he knew that there wasn't going to be figs on it. So that's a question I have for the Lord. You know, what were you doing there that you knew you weren't going to find any figs there, but you went up to it anyway commanded the fig tree to die. So what's the Lord trying to tell us through that? What's the significance of that? So that was my only question.
You can't answer a question with a question. I'm not going to allow that. Okay, anybody else? Let's do this. Let me say this, and I'll tell you where what I saw in this. These headsets are driving me nuts here. No, they're not. Anyway, if Jesus is hungry, and this may help you a little bit, and he wants something to eat, and he made that fig tree, did he not? And when the Son of God is hungry, and one of his creations can supply him with some food, then I'll stop right there. Can anybody see where I'm going with that? Go ahead, Greg.
I don't necessarily see where you're going, but the fig tree was faking it, because apparently fig trees only have leaves when they're going to fruit. And as I say, it may not have been the season, but it was It was pretending it had fruit, so to speak. So I'm assuming that there's something in that, you know, that's I mean, and also given what he did next, it's got to connect up with, you know, his little visit to the temple and his bumping the few tables, etc. Because they certainly didn't have fruit. They had money, but they didn't have fruit.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, there was a parable that Jesus spoke about where he prepared a vineyard, and then he sent people over to get fruit for the Lord. You know, he sent them a few times, and they treated them shamefully and beat them up, and some of them they even killed. So why was the Lord of this vineyard wanting fruit? Because he wants to see if there's fruit in his vineyard, because it's his vineyard and it's supposed to produce fruit. And we are to trust in the Lord to produce fruit in our souls, because that's what we're here for. We have to have the born again fruit in our soul, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And I was told once that by David Eales, that as soon as you get saved, you get 30-fold fruit. You know, this is what he believes, you know, so you should be increasing from there. And fruit is, of course, when you're corrected on things, but it's also you have faith for things, but you still have to have faith for them to happen. So it's those things also. It's the manifestation of these things happening in you when you have a trial and you're enduring for it. So you get some fruit from that too. It's something that you get in your soul that now you can trust in the Lord. You can, you know, be always with him, because he showed you the ropes for one thing, now he can show you the ropes for the next thing that comes your way. And for some of us, like for instance, you know, when I go through a trial, I always think sometimes that I may have done something wrong, you know, and that may not necessarily be the truth. He might just be testing you to see if you're going to have faith to endure to the end for this item. So, anyways, I like that parable where he created that vineyard and he's expecting to have fruit. And the fruit is, he wants to see it too. You know, he wants to experience it. He wants to taste it. You know, it's like when you see a child finally doing something right, one of your children, you get all excited about it too. So the Lord, Father God was well pleased in Jesus. So he saw the fruit in Jesus. So he wants to see the fruit in us too. And we're supposed to have an abiding in Jesus. So, and he's the Word of God. So that's what we have. And we have that by faith, which is, you know, the Holy Spirit helps with that. He's everywhere, omnipresent. So he has to be on the over you, around you, and in you, and that's what you rely on. Praise God. So I think the Lord wants to be well pleased. He wants to see the fruit in us, more and more fruit. And there's the husbandman verse there too, where once you get some fruit, he's going to prune you, and that hurts the flesh, but it gives you more of the Spirit, more of the fruit of Christ in you. So it's really nice, those parables he has. Praise God.
Amen. Where does Isaac go?
I'm here, Michael.
Oh, okay, go ahead, bro.
Good to see y'all tonight.
Good to see you. Well, I'll see you, Mark, anyway.
Yeah, I'm driving home right now. I don't know. I was just, I think Andrew pretty much said what I was going to say about the 30, 60, 100-fold. It just seemed like to me, you know, that's the word in us, right? Jesus was the Word made flesh, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, I know I've heard David say, you know, every fruit, you know, gives a seed after its own kind. And it seems like to me that tree, obviously, would not be neither 30, 60, or 100. It was zero. And, you know, also the Word is also mentioned as bread. You know, it's funny because you mentioned, Michael, about he's hungry. He wants something to eat. You know, he's looking forward toward the harvest, right? And it just seems like that fig tree had zero fruit, right? And when he cursed it, or like you said, he didn't curse it, but when it died, because he commanded no man eat after that tree, it makes me think that it died. So with the star, moon, and sun glory, it didn't even have glory after its own kind. It just died, you know, like a dead planet. And so it just, you know, and if I'm off base, I'm just kind of thinking here. And please elaborate for me, because I know there's more to it. But it seems like that fig tree put off zero fruit. Did not manifest Christ, right? And that it was just to be cursed and die. So I don't know if that explains myself, but I'm just throwing that out there. Sorry, been a long day. Thanks.
No, you're getting close, Isaac. You're real close. Go ahead, David. I'll get right to you, Missy.
Well, do you want Missy to go first or not? It doesn't matter.
No, go ahead.
Because I don't know if she's got the same thing I'm thinking, so I don't want to take it away from her if she does. I'm thinking also, now that I see this, he's saying he's cursing this tree because it doesn't have fruit. It's got the leaves. It's deceptive. So you would be drawn to a tree that has leaves thinking it has fruit. But he's saying because it doesn't have fruit, he's cursing that tree because he doesn't want people to go there. You're not supposed to go to a tree that doesn't have fruit. So if you're going to go and be with somebody or a body of people or wherever you're going, that does not have fruit of Christ, you better leave it. You better, because that's going to curse you. You're not going to, it's not going to bring you into the fruit. It's going to be something that doesn't have fruit. If it doesn't have fruit, how can it give you anything? How could it possibly feed you? There's a lot of trees out there with no fruit. A lot of churches out there with no fruit. They're not bringing people in the image of Christ. That's what I was thinking too.
Amen, Dave. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'm seeing the fig tree represents Judaism, the law, the old covenant, and it's not, and he hungered, and I think he knew that it wasn't going to have any fruit because it never produced the fruit of Christ. And I think no man eat from you from this time on forever. I see like a transition. It's like he's ending the old covenant and coming into the new covenant. And really it didn't produce any fruit of Christ, but all it did was produce death. Because the curse of the law, the curse of sin is death, which is the law, you know. That's kind of what's coming to me. So he's saying, you know, I think he's saying he's showing the end of the old covenant and the new covenant, because when the new covenant came into being, the old covenant was totally done away with. You know, and there was no need for it anymore. I don't know. That's kind of something that I'm seeing there. I don't know if that makes sense at all, but because it died then, you know, it was from the roots. It was withered away from the roots, you know, from the roots on up, you know, kind of makes me think of what it says in Jude, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I don't know, but it just means it's dead. It's anyway, I don't know. That's just kind of what comes to me.
Okay. Well, I think you all are right. But I believe you all are right. Don't get me wrong. But in my simple mind, I'm thinking Jesus, he's the Son of God. He created that bush. He was hungry. I mean, the man was hungry. And he walked up to that bush. And that bush said, I don't have to give you what you need. And Jesus said, oh, yeah? You ain't going to produce no fruit from this point on. Bless God. Walked off, and the thing died. He created that bush. And every one of you were right. It was a parable. But I believe that's his natural instinct, was to curse that bush for not giving that fruit to him. And the bush should have said, oh, yes, sir, Jesus, here's your feet. He could have supernaturally given it to him because Jesus asked him for it. And he didn't. Vashti. Anyway, that's just one other one. That's just one other one there. Go ahead, Missy. I figured I'd get you.
In other words, you're saying that the Lord could have spoke that it would have fruit because he created
he
it.
Did. He did.
Yeah, he could have said, I command you to give me fruit.
Didn't have to. He already did that eons ago.
But it says it wasn't the season of fruit.
Well, Jesus is the season. Now, I'm just throwing this stuff out there, okay? I want to get some discussion on it. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God. He created that bush, remember? And if he created that bush, okay, Andrew, you go ahead.
Well, I was just comparing it to when you're supposed to cast your crowns before the Lord, too. You're giving all the fruit back and everything he gave you there. So
he was given that, just in my mind, he was given that fig tree an opportunity to produce fruit right then for him to eat. And that fruit tree did like the guy with the one talent. He didn't do it. So Jesus said, okay, you ain't going to produce no fruit for me. You ain't producing it for nobody. Go ahead, Julie.
There was another parable too that Jesus talked about in the, about the fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit. After 3 years, he came and it still doesn't bear any fruit. He said, cut it down. Why does it take up the ground? And I don't know who it was that said, well, you know, let me give it one more year. Let me dung it and, you know, tend to it and see if it bears fruit. And if not, then cut it down. So that was a fig tree too, I believe. So.
Yep. Yep, Missy.
Well, it kind of reminds me too. He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And it's kind of like when all these different ones were called to the dinner, and each one gave excuse, and they're saying, well, now's not the time. You know, I got to go bury my dad. I got to get married. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's not the season. It's not the right time. If you look at season as a time. Yeah.
That's another one. We're peeling this onion back. You see what we're doing? Praise God. Yeah, this is good. Go ahead, Isaac. Can't hear you. What was that, babe? No, he didn't want no salad. He wanted some fruit, brother. Oh my. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else while Isaac's working on Mariana's pooter? No. Hey, we're out of time, aren't we?
I think something else to consider here is also he came at a time when people would naturally think that, oh, it's not time to come for fruit, but he came looking for fruit.
Yeah, that's another one.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Myself real quick, everybody. real quick, I had a little verse here. Kind of what you were saying, Michael, kind of about Sam. Says, do not say there are still, this is John 4:35. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for the harvest. You know, the harvest is always here. I don't know if that fits, but if it does, all right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, if the Lord's looking for fruit, it should be there. If it's not there, then whose fault is it?
Yeah. All right, Benita.
Okay, maybe the last one, but it just reminded me of the virgins again and having the oil in their lamp, just kind of along the same line that they should have had it. They should have been prepared, and that was their fruit, and they didn't have it. So it's kind of along the same line.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. Okay. It was a good night. Lord, we just thank you for answering all of our prayers. We thank you for all the good testimonies and the praise reports tonight. We thank you, Father, that Matthew is healed, delivered, and he is set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. And then we thank you, Lord, that Sandy is too, in Jesus' name. We lift her up. We thank you, Father, for bringing her home tomorrow, in Jesus' name, getting her out from under pharmakia, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Amen. Y'all have a good night's sleep, too. In Jesus' name, for those of you that are going to sleep.
And we bind any witchcraft that's been coming against this body in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
I agree with Dave.